My father passed away several years ago, but his soul never did. Where it currently resides, I have no earthly idea. Perhaps it's incubating inside another human or creature or wandering in the ether, but spiritually alive nevertheless. Full disclosure, I'm agnostic. My faith is anchored in human beings rather than on any supernatural authority. I have my set of strongly held beliefs, values, and attitudes that I live by, and a secular concern with the needs, well-being, and interest of people. I don't lead a life that follows institutional interpretations of divinity, doctrine, or teachings. With that as prologue, I believe in souls. They have a separate existence outside the bodies that house them. I think their destinies are limitless, without boundaries. Their final destination is neither heavenly paradise nor the penal colony of hell. I believe that their destiny is to morph, to voyage, to explore. I like to think that my father saw his life flash before his eyes and realized it was incomplete and in need of one final declaration. So it came as no surprise to me at the internment that our unrepentant, passive-aggressive patriarch delivered, with perfect timing, his coup de grace. At the memorial, a solemn occasion to be sure, his coffin was positioned directly in front of his partner in crime, our mother, and other family mourners, accomplices. As part of the proceedings, his gold wedding band laid on top of the coffin. As to why it was placed there, I haven't a clue. Apparently, as explained to me later, it was put there to be blessed. Okie dokie. As the priest walked up to the coffin to perform the ritual, the ring inexplicably spiraled upward, momentarily hung in the air as if surveying those in attendance, and then dove to the cement floor below. The metallic sphere hit the pavement with such force it left a trail of sparks as it rolled past the priest and several grievers, before finally laying to rest at Mother's feet. Coincidence? I think not. Rick, my younger brother, frantically pounced from his chair and scrambled to retrieve it. But to this day, I don't think he or other family members witnessed the ring's ascent before its kamikaze descent. There are many reasons to write a book, and discovering what your reasons are is a great way to keep your focus when distractions appear or anything discouraging happens. Your why will be the engine that will keep the vehicle moving no matter the circumstances. In addition, when you have a dynamic reason, you'll know what to say and how to answer directly once you are asked in an interview. We'll go through a few examples of reasons why others may want to write a book, and some action steps to discover your purpose in putting words together. This portion will really help in the next chapter, which is discovering your audience. Once you have a why, and to whom this why concerns, will be more obvious to you. Plus, you'll know better how to market. The marketer. Some people write books as a marketing tool, to promote themselves, a product or services, or to funnel potential clients to a business opportunity, or even just to educate them on what this marketer has to offer. This person's ambition of writing is different from others because he's not looking to make a Shakespearean novel, but something quicker and lighter to read so that the audience can get to know him and his company at a faster pace. This purpose is to share industry knowledge about a particular subject, which must not be too vague. Their book should be specific and also give tons of value so that those who are interested in that subject will be more likely to pick it up and check out what else the author has to offer. The storyteller. This is the person who just has a story in their heart to share, which might be something of personal experience or something exclusively from their imagination. It could also be a person that just has an unbelievably good tale that can either entertain, inspire, shock, and awe people. The storyteller's motivation is about expression, so that this person should put their main focus on putting true human feelings in their work, to connect with the audience in an intimate way that they will remember for months after they read it. If your purpose is just to express this tale to the masses, tell a story that connects with you in a deep way that produces a feeling, this story has to be told. and you cannot reach the grave without telling it. The presenter. This is the person who's writing a book to present facts in order to drive a point home, to push or point or narrate about a particular subject. This is the way of the scholar or the intellectual who is presenting his case why something is true and not true, so to sway the audience's opinions. This book would be written for a particular audience and should be written to appease the ones who are into the subject of discussion. The presenter should use hard facts, but yet stories or scenes to drive points home in order for the audience to get into the feel of the book. The purpose is to write something that will change the minds of the reader, or to help them see things in another way than before reading the book. Let's be candid. I'm athletic, but I'm not an athlete. I was a one-sport athlete in high school playing varsity baseball. Truth be told, I was the backup catcher and caught more splinters than games in my senior year. I played intramural sports in college. Since then, I've done a handful of marathons and half marathons, as well as a dozen and a half, mostly Olympic distance triathlons, always finishing in the lower end of my age group. So it makes no sense at all that at age 54, an age where most men are starting to slow down a bit, I'm beginning to speed up. Riding my bicycle across half the United States, I'm shifting gears, powering uphill, and maneuvering the curves, which I've encountered not only on the road, but also as a father. The road is rarely straight, or the lines clearly painted, and there are not many signposts pointing the way to being a 21st century dad. I have made more than my share of mistakes over the years raising my children. When I have fallen short of what I could be, I remember that perfection does not exist, but improvement is always an option. I don't have all the answers, but just like those very tough and long days pedaling my way in the rain, the wind, and/or blazing sun, when I came to the end of my resources, I would put my faith in God and repeat to myself multiple times a day, "With your wings and my legs, we're going the distance." Faith has many definitions, but for me, what St. Augustine declared somewhere around 400 AD rings true. Faith is to believe in what you do, not see. The reward of this faith is to see what you have believed. On one hand, given my background and career, it defied logic to don a helmet and skin-tight riding gear, line up a route that took me 2,300 plus miles in just 21 days, through 8 states from California to Illinois. I wasn't alone in this journey. Most days, I was accompanied by other riders who had also helped raise money and awareness for fatherhood charities. I also had my faith to keep me company. As a father, faith is essential when it comes to making a positive impact. Even though you map the route out, you can anticipate there will be flat tires, blisters, exhaustion, and a bit of pain along the way. Not unlike being a dad, you do your best to plan the journey, the guidebook, if you will, when it comes to being present, spiritually, financially, emotionally, and physically.